Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
I'm overcompensating. I was a grumpy person today. I am not going to be a grumpy person today. I'm excited for Game 5. I've not had coffee today. This will either be the best show we've ever done or the worst show we've ever done. Let's get it on. How about you?
Let's get it on. I had a nice morning, played a little bit of tennis, got a haircut, and here I am.
I gotta say, I'm shocked you played tennis today.
Oh, you surprised?
It's new for you. Did you just pick it up?
Yeah, I did last week. It's really fun.
Yeah. Well, you should watch it on TVs in the studio or something like that.
Yeah, I'm gonna start picking it up and trying to watch a little bit more. Yeah.
Well, I'm excited for you. This is a new journey for you.
I know, it's crazy. I'm gonna play tonight too.
Oh, okay. I mean, now it's an addiction. All right, two times in one day, and
sometimes three.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I don't think I have the cardiovascular ability. Almost.
What was that?
I landed the damn plane. Will the Cavs land the damn plane in Game 5? Yep, right there. That's it. That's exactly what we all are thinking.
That's the lead, right? You know, I asked you when I arrived here at the bar. I said, "What's the vibe? Like, what are you feeling for tonight's game?" And you said, "I have no feel."
No.
And then you asked me. And then you asked me, Nick, what my feel was for the game, and I sort of said, I paused, and I said, yeah, I have no feel.
Yeah, I don't think anybody does. I've listened to all the shows today, and in all the Game 5 talk, I don't think I've had one person who knows what to expect. Like, if we're just talking about how this series has gone, I expect the Cavs to roll tonight. Because it's at home. Mm-hmm. The Cavs only really like it when people cheer them. They don't like to be jeered, or they don't like a lukewarm crowd in mm-hmm. Orlando. Mm-hmm. They don't like to be the bad guys either. So I'm anticipating the Cavs fans with all this nervous energy. You hit two threes in a row to start the game, it's going to blow the roof off the rock right now. So, that's what we should expect. We should expect the home team to maintain or to at least maintain this advantage that it's had all series. My problem is there's enough doubt in me. So I think we should expect the Cavs to go out and win tonight. And not just win tonight, but maybe have that kind of get-right game that Orlando had in Game 3, where all of a sudden they look like a Cavs team that could maybe challenge anybody in the NBA, not lose by 38 points to Orlando. The problem is, this team is such a front runner.
Mm-hmm.
There's another part of me that worries that they're getting popped in the mouth 3 minutes into this, and it's going to be a slugfight, and who the hell knows?
I think there's a good chance that the Magic come back here with a lot of momentum, motivation, and could come out here in this ball game tonight, Nick, and really take it to the Cavaliers. I think it's going to be very important for the Cavs to not only start fast, but remember that this team has the ability to come back on you in the second half, which they showed on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, so here's the funny thing. So we've had four blowouts. Let's just be honest about that. Doesn't matter that was it Game 4, they got down, the Magic got the lead down to 4 points at one point. Doesn't matter in Game 2, it was 9 points, and then in Orlando, it was just flat out blowouts. There was just nothing close about any of those games. But it, I think the thing that's wild is, if you look at every other series in the NBA right now, even the ones that have finished, if I said it's going to be a close game, who do you expect to win? Or how do you expect it to go? You would have some through line of an expectation for it. But I don't know what a close game looks like between these two teams. And that scares – and so this is – just from a Cavs standpoint, it scares the crap out of me.
There hasn't been one close game.
Yeah. And the Magic, let's be honest, the Magic are playing with house money. After those first two games, there are no expectation for the Magic.
I bet you Magic fans thought the series was over, as I did, after the first couple of games. And then even after game three, I bet you there was a portion of Magic fans that thought,
oh, hey, we got one.
We got one.
We acquitted ourselves.
At least we're not going to get embarrassed, you know, that whole thing. And then all of a sudden game four happens, and I bet you the fans in Orlando started to say, maybe we found something here. Maybe we've got a chance.
Well, and I think that's, you know, there's two ways to think about the Cavs when they're at their worst. One is that they're front runners, meaning that when the crowd's buzzing and everything's going well, they can beat any team in the NBA. But the second that flips, they don't really have, whether it's leadership, whether it's winning habits, whether it's toughness, we can use any synonym we might want to use for that. They just don't have that thing that you need. And they haven't had it in either of the playoff series we've seen this year. So that's one way to look at it. Here's the other. The Cavs really have immense amount of pressure on them, which then adds to that first problem. Like, now all of a sudden, like when we were coming off game two and we had Mark Stein trying to force the Donovan Mitchell stuff out of the ether, it was like, what are you doing? The Cavs are playing, like, the Cavs are up 2-0. Like, if the Cavs look like they're going to sweep the series or get a gentleman sweep, like, what are you doing now? If he released that same thing now, it feels like a death sentence for the Cavs. And you can't tell me. You can't tell me a team that gets bugged by a temperature shift of their own fans or by the road fans, by a degree of difference in how they're cheered or jeered. You can't tell me that those things, whether it's Donovan, Darius, Jarrett, JB, you can't tell me those things aren't going through that locker room and going through their heads right now as they get ready for games.
Oh, they have to be. You know, when you are so dominant in you know, this first couple of games, I guarantee you that the Cavs players and the coaches and everybody involved, including myself as a fan, felt like the series was pretty much over at that point. And far from it. You know, honestly, I kind of wish the Cavs would have played closer games the first two games, you know, just to kind of give them a feel that the Magic could play with them. Mm-hmm. Because I think they got overconfident, you know, going into that thing. You know, I always equate everything to tennis, and in this scenario, I kind of thought about it a little bit. You know, sometimes in tennis, a guy will lose like 6-0 and just get blown out the first set. You know what happens the second set a lot of times?
They dominate.
They come back and win.
Yeah.
Because the person who blew them out thinks that they're just going to cruise. And I think that happened to the Cavaliers.
I don't hate that. I think the complicating factor to tonight, and again, it's a vibe check. We want to know where you guys are ahead of game five. There's a lot of stuff with the Cavs. We've got some Brown stuff to get into today. The SoFi on steroids comment from the Slippery Wizard today. There's plenty to get to here. But as we're doing this vibe check, the thing that feels like you're going from juggling oranges to now here's a stick of dynamite that you're also juggling, is that Jared Allen is listed as questionable tonight.
Yeah, I saw that news just about a half hour ago or so, and I haven't seen any updates on that, so I don't really know exactly where that stands. But boy, if Jared Allen cannot play tonight, that is a huge blow to the Cavs' chances of winning the series.
Well, it feels like a huge blow to win this game, and if you lose this game, you're not coming back to Cleveland.
Most likely, no.
And I'll be honest with you. I thought after game three I'd got all my vitriol out, all my anxiety, all my frustration. If you don't even make it to seven with Orlando, I will be beyond incensed. I just think that will be such a and it will not just be JB, but he'll be the first domino. He might get the Lane Kiffin tarmac treatment, quite frankly. But, like, it'll be on all – no, it'll be on your core four. That's the reality of this. But Jared, the problem with Jared is, if you had said Jared was questionable to miss game five going into the series, none of us would have had any consternation, any concern, any of it. Now, he's been your best player. And,
yep.
and it's not even just about your best player, because he is still who he is. Like, Jared as a player hasn't changed. He's just adapted to the playoffs and the physicality and the environment. which I love. I love heel Jared Allen right now, the guy who's throwing Mo Wagner to the ground. Give me more of that, Jared. But the problem is that all of a sudden he's your most important player. I'm going to reel that back in. The most important player is still Donovan, but he's the guy that you can trust. I can't trust Donovan from 1 minute to the next. I can't trust Darius from 1 minute to the next. I can't trust Evan. And obviously, once we get to the bench, who the hell knows with any bench player in the NBA, let alone with the Cavaliers, Jared's the one guy that I'm like, I know he's going to play hard. I know he's going to play physical. I know he's going to clean up on the glass. I know he's going to do everything you need him to do. And so, like, I saw a bunch of people. I don't agree with the theory that if Jared doesn't go tonight, it's an automatic loss for you.
I don't think it's an automatic L for the Cavaliers. But certainly the way that Jared Allen has played through the wins and the losses in this series, he's been the one consistent piece for the Cavs.
Well, and he's the one guy you trust.
Yeah.
Like, what part of the anxiety, I think, with Cleveland and the Cavaliers has been a lack of trust? You just don't know. Like, from 1 minute to next, who's going to step up? When the game needs to be taken over, who can you trust? That's been Donovan more than anybody throughout his run here. But, like, he hasn't even consistently done it because he's been banged up with the knee and the ribs. So, like, I disagree with the fans who think if you lose, if Jarrett doesn't go tonight, it's an automatic loss. What I will say is I understand why you feel that way. I think the expectation should be you've still got home court advantage. You should still go out there. And tonight, Donovan, if you got one, tonight would be a nice night to have it. I usually like to expect to hold those expectations until game sevens, but this thing cannot go back to Orlando with the Cavs being down 3-2.
No, it can't. It can't. I think it'll be over at that point in time.
Yeah.
Even if the Cavs show up and, you know, give it their college try, if you will, it's not going to be enough.
We are awaiting the 8 p.m. tip-off. I kind of like the 7 p.m. tip-off. Can I get anybody else on that? On weeknights, give me that 7 p.m. tip-off. And not on NBA TV.
Can I tell you how, like, not into this game I am tonight?
Yeah. Is it just about this game or is it specifically about the NBA TV, which does suck?
It's not about the NBA TV. It's just about
It's
about this series and how the last two games have tarnished how I feel about the Cavs' playoff chances and advancing. You know, tonight I play tennis every Tuesday night and I play from 8 to 9:30. And typically, like in a situation like this, I would just like cancel and not play and have someone sub in for me. But I'm going to play tonight. It's our last night and I'll get home and see the second half of the game.
So we do have some reaction coming up on that game. Mark Schlereth, Odyssey NFL Insider, coming up in 40 minutes. And Daryl Ryder and Andy Baskin talk about the connection between Friday night's draft picks and break down the draft in a new episode of It's Always Game Day in Cleveland, sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. Subscribe now at 92.3thefan.com on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So as we fight through this, I think that's a fair thing, by the way. That's kind of, you know, we're talking about your expectations for tonight, but I am excited for tonight because it's one more chance to see if this team can grow a set and play the way they should. Like, what continues to be the number one thing to me is the Cavs are the more talented team. The Cavs have home court advantage. That should matter. And if they don't, at every step that they don't, then I think you get a little bit more severe in your reaction to it if you're the Cavs organization, if this thing goes the way of the dodo for the Cleveland Cavaliers. But as we're talking about the emotions of this, are you guys closer to where Dustin is, where Dustin's just kind of not excited at all about this game, or are you still do you still have some excitement in your heart and some hope in your heart for Game 5? But Lima, part of the Monin Boys this morning, talked about the next 2 to 3 games, and I'll be honest with you, I don't necessarily know that I agree with the overarching premises, but I think it's an important backdrop to this game, the next 2 to 3 games, and what's on the line for at least one guy on the Cavs roster.
Big three games, or whatever it is, for Darius Garland, because let's say Donovan Mitchell actually does re-sign with the Cavs. Let's say he commits to them, and it's more than just signing. Maybe he's telling the organization, I'm here. I don't want to be anywhere else. Okay, we can all do pie in the sky, but just for the sake of this discussion,
mm-hmm.
I want to do it. Sneaky big few games for Darius Garland, because I could see him being the one they end up trading if Donovan re-signs this offseason. And how Darius does here tonight, how he does on Friday, and if there's a game 7, it could change how not just the fans think about Darius in this town, but also the organization.
So I think from the organizational perspective, I'm sure that there are things that Darius can do over the next 2 to 3 games that will earn him favor. And if they were to set this whole thing up to choose between Darius and Donovan, to maybe sway them in favor of choosing Darius. I think it's a big 2 or 3 games for Darius with Cavs fans. Because I think Darius, I think we've gotten to a point where I don't know Darius's trade value coming off this year. I sure as hell don't want to sell low on a guy that I think we all thought was a franchise cornerstone. That's why they paid him $250 million. So to me, the next 2 to 3 games when it comes to Darius are about reclaiming some of that love Cavs fans had for him 2 years ago and that belief that they had.
Mm-hmm.
Because if push comes to shove and you do trade Donovan and the Cavs are going to sell you Darius right now, I think a lot of Cavs fans would scoff at that plan, whether Donovan chooses you or not.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I would scoff at that plan currently. But you're right. I mean, listen, the next couple of games certainly could change your thoughts on whether they should, you know, pick Garland over Mitchell. And obviously the big part of that is, does Mitchell even want to be here?
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the thing, like, to like Lima, it does feel like fait accompli right now. I hate to be that guy because I think the Cavs should still win the series. They have home court advantage. The home team has blown out the road team every one of these games. If that continues, like, basic math would tell you that's the Cavs series right there. But, like, I don't know there's anything. I mean, I don't know. A lot of people around the NBA think that Donovan's already got 1 foot out the door. Was it Geltzeiler that said that today? Geltzeiler said something. Brian Geltzeiler was on with Baskin and Phelps in between weather updates today, and he threw that out. I think a lot of people around the NBA feel that same way. So, like, I'm more concerned. Like, here's the thing. I think that the Cavs might just be a more watchable team if they just make a choice between Donovan and Darius. And I think this series has set it up that even if you win this series, it's going to take a miracle against Boston or whoever you face in the second round. It's likely going to be Boston. But whoever you face in the second round, it's going to take a miracle for this thing not to be the ultimatum this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And the way this team has played, listen, I know we all scoff at the eye test because analytics are king anymore. This is going to sound like an anti-analytics thing. That's not what I'm saying. This offseason's officially about Darius or Donovan. Unless they do the unthinkable, pull the sword from the stone, and go to the Eastern Conference Finals, this offseason is now about picking between the two. And if as an organization you don't pick, the NBA will pick for you. And what I mean by that is one of these players will pick for you. This situation will turn bad enough that it will pick for you. And so I think that's officially where we are. I think the problem is, from a value perspective, I think now it's become, can you save face on the Donovan trade? So I don't think it's as simple as who do you think wants to be here and who do you think is the better guy going forward. But I think right now, I think confidence in Darius is at an all-time low. I think it makes a lot of sense. You took a swing for 2 years on Donovan. It hasn't gone the way you hoped it would. You're struggling to get out of a series against the worst team left in the NBA playoffs. It just makes sense that you go out there in an offseason with a dearth of good free agents and trade assets, get max value for Donovan, and reset this thing around Darius and Evan. That makes the most sense. But that's going to be a hard sell if Darius continues to look like a lost puppy in most of these games. And so it's tough because, like, I'll be honest with you. If Darius doesn't – I don't know. If Darius doesn't have a good game or two in the next 2 or 3 games, I also don't know you can beat Orlando.
At this point, Nick, I don't know that they can beat Orlando with or without Darius having good games. Does that make sense? I mean, what I've seen over the last couple of games, and maybe this is an overreaction just like I overreacted to the first couple of games, I'm not confident, man.
I think everybody's where you are. I'm trying to see the forest from the trees. And I'm trying to still – because it still goes back to they are the more talented team. And it's so funny. Like, I think there's an immense amount at stake for JB the next 2 to 3 games. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know if there's anything JB can do at this point to save his job. I think the players are tuning him out. I think they were tuning him out the final 20 games of the season. We said as much. Mm-hmm. We probably should have even gone harder at that, but we thought, you know what? Maybe they get into the playoffs. They have a modicum of health. Let's let the playoffs go. And then for 2 games, there were some people in this town saying things that I don't think matched up with how the locker room feels about JB. So the next 2 to 3 games are like he just needs to give him more. JB needs to extend his chances to keep his job. That's where he's literally every single game coaching for his job with about an inch of quicksand under his feet. And that's all. There's no other sand. That was not a great analogy, but we're fighting through it here. But the point is, I think JB feels the ground moving beneath his feet. I think Donovan's the next guy with the next 2 to 3 games to really – it's going to be a brutal offseason for him. He's going to take some flack in town and maybe even nationally. I don't think anybody's paying attention to this series nationally. I don't think there's any buzz nationally.
They can't even find the game. I mean, they sandwiched this game tonight between 2 TNT games. So if you're watching the NBA playoffs tonight, you are going to not see the Cavaliers.
Well, going into it, I mentioned
that who's finding NBA TV?
I was listening to 3 or 4 podcasts, NBA national podcasts, and they spent like 3 minutes on the Cavs Magic series, and they spent like 20 minutes on Lakers Nuggets. They spent 20 minutes on Boston Miami. They had like an hour, 2 hour long podcast to preview the entire playoffs. And nobody was talking about Orlando and Cleveland, and that's before this thing turned out to be a big old stinky turd. So, like, I would imagine that it's almost like he's going to be Teflon Don this offseason, because who the hell's going to remember this series other than the Magic one, and it's going to be quickly cycled through with all the better headlines and better mm-hmm. series to talk about. But, like, I do think from Donovan staying here, I think there's an immense amount of line. And here's the thing. I think people are wrong on the Evan thing. Like, I think people are going in on Evan on this series. That's like, okay, in my order of blame or rage right now, JB and Darius are at the top of the org chart. Double deuces, double birds there. Donovan's probably third. Evan's fourth, but it's a distant fourth. And then the guy that I just am not going to crap on, whether he plays tonight or not, is Jared. Because he showed up. So, like, it's so funny to hear, and I heard Ken and Anthony talk about the LeBron stuff. We'll get to later in the show. Well, should they trade Evan Mobley for LeBron? No, they shouldn't. That, to me, is an overreaction. If you say you should trade Darius no matter what, that's an overreaction brought on by the embarrassment of this series. I don't know that the same can be said about no matter what fire JB or no matter what trade Donovan. But, like, I it's so funny because I do think the next 2 to 3 games matter, whether you win the series or not. How you look and whether you ever get your feet back on the ground and offer up a good fight. I'll be honest with you. Darius is a big part of tonight because I need to see Darius be part of a team tonight that knows that what's going to happen if they lose this game. And I have not seen them play consistently 4 quarters of fire like they're playing for something to lose, and I want to see that tonight. And it does. I think Lima is right about the next 2 to 3 games for Darius. Even if you lose this series, let's say it's Donovan that disappears, or let's say Donovan can't go. Let's say the injuries become too much, but Darius plays really, really well. I'm gonna tell you right now, people will rally around Darius. People will. I think people want to rally around Darius in this town. I think so much of the anger or frustration with him is they've kept giving him the opportunity to do it, and he hasn't met the moment. I almost think like it'd be better for Darius if Donovan wasn't out there the next 2 to 3 games.
Oh, I agree with that.
Because I just think
Darius had like a hammy or something and kept him out just for like a week, I think you'd see Garland thrive.
I just think we've gotten to a point where there is some sort of block between the two of them. And what's weird is, because Donovan's the alpha, right? And then Darius is the, is he the beta? I don't know what we're using in that scenario. But the point is, Donovan's the alpha in this situation, and he disappears just as much as Darius does. because he disappeared in the second half of a game that that game went from a 9-point lead to a, what, 12, 21, 70-point? I don't even know.
I don't know, 40?
I blacked it out. I know they've gotten blown out twice in a row. 216-474-0092. Hit us up on the phone lines there or at Nick Wilson says at DustinFox37. How important are – oh, by the way, social media reactions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. How important are the next three games, the next 2 to 3 games for Darius Garland? I think in terms of trade value, I think it is what it is. I do. If you were to trade Darius this offseason after losing this series, if that's what happens, I don't think you're getting a lot of value for Darius. He's coming off a down year, which is exactly why I would not want to trade Darius. I don't want to trade. The way you screw this thing up is by trading Darius, Donovan, Jarrett, or Evan just to trade them and not getting max value this offseason. Because something has to be better. No, that's what you do when the head coach. Like, well, we're going to fire the head coach because something has to be different. You don't do that with four guys who are still very good back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Basketball players. James, real quick here. Welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Sir, I'm not sure how I feel based on, you know, y'all overreaction sometimes. Dustin hit the nail on the head. After the first two games, everybody was hollering, sweep, sweep, sweep. Now, after two losses, we're talking about the trade value of Garland and everybody else. I think everybody's overreacting. This is a 4-5 matchup. The Cavs haven't been playing well. But I do know two things about this series. The questions about Donovan, is he able to carry a team into the playoffs, about Utah still remains. And J.B. Bickerstaff, can he get these guys going? These guys don't have a dog in them. Say what you want to about Kyrie, but Kyrie had that dog in him. And you're talking about the alphas and the beta, who's the alpha? Who's on first? Who knows, man? Nobody's taking over this team. It seems like they lack leadership and focus and a real, true identity. They don't know what they want to be. But Donovan needs to take over, control of this team, demand the ball, demand the ball. Not just gun, because he's a gun, and I want him a gun. But he's not leading the team. They're not following him.
So I don't know what we're going to do. James, there's actually a lot I agree with. What did Kyrie? How many titles does Kyrie have without LeBron?
Well, one. That's a million times more, infinity times more than.
Well, no. How many does he have without LeBron?
Oh,
Kyrie's
none.
Won approximately nothing without LeBron, and he's won less when he's been away from Tatum and Brown. Now that being
right,
said,
but it's the, wait, okay, go ahead.
Sorry, buddy, because we are up against it. I'm not. It's not because I disagree with you on that one point. Because I think there's a lot of things that I really agree with you on, including the fact that they don't have an identity, and that is another thing that should scare you. Now, in terms of the overreaction, I believe that I was the person after two games saying the series isn't over and the Cavs aren't going to sweep. I believe that I was the one worried about game. Now I'm just doing.
You
I
were.
Was right,
no,
radio,
you,
James. No, it feels dirty. It doesn't feel right.
Where Nick was right.
That's a different show and a different bit, but I do like it. It's a very good show. Hopefully it's good reaction. Like, how much for you, if the Cavs win tonight, how much does it change things for you?
Quite a bit, because obviously you have the opportunity to, close things out in a game five.
Because I think that's all we really need.
Or game six, rather.
Oh, I say we. I'm not talking about the Cavs. I think from game to game, I think their effort is – or their how hard they play is going to be suspect. Because I just think that's who they are now. Mm-hmm. When you've got 82 games and now four playoff games going on five, that's enough to tell who a team is. If those bad habits are still present, if they get pushed around on random nights and you're not sure what to like, or if they only like home cooking, like the Cavs seem to, that's who you are, man. Like that's just. So I don't know anything tonight's going to change our opinion of the Cavs ceiling, but do I think that tonight, like we had James call, and the thing I agreed with the most is, it's been overreaction city every single way. Like I don't think it was so if. Being outraged at how the Cavs played in Game 3, I don't think that's an overreaction. But I think if you saw Game 3 and said the series is over, overreaction. Even after this last game, if you think this series is over, I think that's an overreaction. Tonight, though, it's kind of the divining rod of whether it's over or not. If you win, you're going to say, well, we only need one win in the next two games. Cool. We got this. If you lose, I think we're going to make a logical assumption if they lose. But I think I will say, I agree with James. I think we have, maybe not me, but I think a lot of people have overreacted way too much from game to game. I think tonight is the proper reaction, though. If you win and you win big, cool. You're in a really good spot. If you lose, Rome is burning, and that's just the reality. And so, we've talked a lot about style points. I don't make this segment about style points. By the way, we got Mark Schlereth coming up in about 15 minutes here. We'll talk about the latest of the Browns roster after the draft. We'll also get to some of his favorite draft picks that he saw. He hated the Kirk Cousins, Michael Penix Jr. thing, by the way. So we'll get to that with Mark as well. But, I don't want to turn this into do they need style points tonight, because it's not about whether you win by 5 or whether you win by 50. We're at the point where just win the damn game.
Yes.
But who comes up for you matters. And Darius having a big game is one of the few things. I think Evan having a big game again would be nice too. But Darius specifically coming through and having a big game, like he did in, what was that? It's like a 3-minute stretch in game two where he hit two big threes and a big layup and he made a big defensive play.
I was there, I remember. It was like a 3-minute stretch where he got hot.
If he can put together that kind of game tonight, or hell, just give me a half of that,
yep.
Right? And the Cavs win, that's the kind of thing that I think you can – I don't think it's an overreaction that would be a big thing for the Cavs tonight. Let's go with Tim. Tim, welcome to the show, buddy. How important are the next 2 to 3 games for Darius?
Well, I think that for Darius, the next couple of games is going to be down to how much is his trade value worth. At this point, the front office isn't going. We need to make some serious change in both on the roster and on the bench, the coaching staff. Then, I don't know where this team is going to be headed over the next several years, because they're in a bad spot right now.
So it's so funny, and I thank you for the call, Tim. I it's like standing on one of those platforms. Like those four-corner platforms where any direction you step, it rebalances the platform. I just watched National Treasure. You're going to have to give me a minute here. But the point is, that's what I feel like the balance between Darius and Donovan's futures are. You know, because like, on if it was just on the level of who do you think is ready to win now, you'd choose Donovan. I don't think there's – even with how the Orlando side of this has gone, I think a fair amount of us look at him and go, well, he's not healthy and they're not playing well, and maybe the Cavs are holding Donovan back right now. Like, I think – I actually think we've been pretty fair with Donovan despite the fact he hasn't looked like the best player in the series for all four games for the second straight series we've seen him. But, like – I think the complicating factor in where that pressure maybe tilts in the favor of Darius staying is that I don't think the Cavs can any longer wait on Donovan to say, I want to be here or not. I think you need to go about this offseason. If, again, unless you make a miraculous run out of nowhere here that none of us see happening, which we'll leave the hypothetical window open for. But, like, I think you need to go in this offseason with a concerted plan. And you cannot wait on Donovan, because remember, like, I think Donovan gave the Jazz the trade request after the draft. You can't wait. You have to know who you're trading before the draft. And that might be the one positive of getting bounced out early if you end up losing this series, which would be an abomination, is that you would have time to come up with a plan, and you would have time to hire a new coach, hypothetically, and you could say, all right, we're either going to build around Darius and Evan, and we're gonna find the best deal for Donovan that we possibly can, or we're going to build around Donovan and Evan, and we're going to see what we can get for Evan, or get for Darius. Good Lord. But I really think, like, guys, I don't think Darius is going anywhere. I don't. But I do think for a guy who said multiple times he wants to be here.
If you had to bet right now, gun to your head, who's here next year, Darius or Donovan?
Darius. It's not even close. And a lot of that is, let's just be honest about this. Donovan is, as of right now, Donovan is not worth the LeBron experience. And you've had that. Like, he has not held you hostage, per se. The Kobe Altman has held the Cavs hostage by not making any meaningful moves. If he had hired a different coach last offseason, if he had, whether it's traded Jared or maybe even thought about trading Darius, when Darius's value was still pretty darn high, if he had made significant moves last offseason after seeing exactly who the Cavs were with Donovan that first year, instead of making excuses and doing the careerist thing of, it's better for Kobe Altman's career if I let this thing settle for another year because I still might have a job. Whereas if I make these moves and they don't work, they're going to fire my ass. Right? He played, I mean, it's no different than when you and I are on FanDuel and we're like, well, I like the odds on this bet right here better than maybe the straight up bet, which might help me in a long run more. I might make more money on this one, but man, this feels like the safer play for me. That's all Kobe did. And so because of that, you're now in a position where, you know, it's not that Donovan has held you hostage, but you've allowed Donovan to hold you hostage.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. That's not, no. The Cavs have to reclaim their direction going forward. They need to be the team that assesses the Donovan market, because here's the thing. I don't know if I'm Donovan. I don't know that he likes playing for JB. I think that's apparent. I think if you just watch, I don't know any of these dudes like playing for JB. They might like JB. That's not what I'm saying. You can like somebody all you want. If you don't respect him, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, I think the guys probably back in the day liked John Beilein. I mean, maybe they liked some of the other coaches
that they liked.
Okay.
I was trying to make
a good example. That was probably not the best one, but you get the point. I mean, just because you know, the guy is not great at X's and O's and getting you ready doesn't mean the guy's a bad guy. I mean, I don't think JB's a bad dude that they don't like, but I do think that they don't trust him.
I think that's fair. So I'm just like, why would Donovan stay? If Donovan didn't choose this 2 years ago, what's happened?
I mean,
now,
the only thing that would be keeping Donovan here is just, I mean, us having blind faith that he loves it in Cleveland. I mean, that's it.
And
then maybe he's comfortable here. I have no idea.
And I just think the reality is
we don't have anything to offer him other than the idea that they can compete and continue to put some pieces around him. I don't know that that's going to be enough to keep Donovan Mitchell around in Cleveland.
I will say tonight I want to see something. I've already said it about Darius. It's Donovan's night tonight. If you have anything in the tank, it'd be great to see it tonight for four quarters. Because there have been moments, I mean, I even think kind of like late, I can't remember if it's game one or game two. There was a moment where the Magic started chipping away. No, it was game one. And Donovan just started, instead of relying and over-reliance on the three-pointer, Donovan just took the ball, drove to the paint, and got like six easy baskets in a row, which put the game away. Like, I need that, but I need it. And I don't even need to see it. Like, yeah, it's so funny. Like, I don't even see it in the first quarter. I've seen a good first half performance by Donovan. I need to see the finisher tonight. I need to see him go out there late in that game and do what I think he's capable of. Like, that's what's wild. Even when he's, you know, he's clearly not 100%. And I keep – that needs to be a perspective that we keep in mind. It doesn't have to override our frustration or our disappointment. But, like, he's kind of being a warrior right now and playing through some stuff. Like, but, man, I need to see it in the fourth quarter tonight.
Yeah.
And, again, I just think tonight is, you know – getting back to the great plan. We're going to trade for Donovan, and then we're going to wait for 2 years. That effectively is what the plan became. And I don't think that's how you win. That's just my own personal opinion. You should be in control of your destiny at every single point. At some point in the last year, destiny took the wheel. Jesus took the wheel, and now you're trying to reclaim it. But I do think, like, I think tonight is the night we've all been waiting for. Not to put it all – I mean, again, you're going to play another game, whether you win or lose this game. But, like, I want to see now, okay, you've taken two straight – you got jaw-jacked twice. You got knocked out twice. Show me you can get up from that. You can't get up from it in a game. That clearly is beyond them. But you've had a couple days now. So go out there, show me you can win this game. Because rightfully, you should blow their ass out again.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.